Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we are indeed so thankful for this great opportunity that we have from Him to make our request known and to share the promises of the Lord with the many who would tune in to the radio. The fact of radio is that you never know who's listening. And the truth also is this, that you never know who's watching. The preacher on the radio can speak and he never knows who's listening, but you living your life where you are, you never know who's watching. There's a story told of two boys who were gathering or stealing apples, and they looked around and didn't think anyone was looking, and there was a man 7 miles away with a telescope watching these boys all the time. And they didn't see anyone anywhere around, but the telescope helped them to be found out. And the same way it was with Moses in Exodus chapter 1, in which he looked, chapter 2, when he looked one way and he looked another, and he buried an Egyptian in the sand, and he thought no one saw him. And the next day he went out and saw two Hebrews striving one with another, and he told them to stop fighting because they were brethren. And they asked, who made him a judge? And will you kill us as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And he ran. Well, he didn't think that they had seen him, or perhaps he did think that they had seen him, or the one who was rescued went and told everyone, but the word was out. And so it is with us. The word is out. You name the name of Christ, the word is out. You tell people you are a Christian, the word is out. You're being watched. And if you speak against some sin, the word is out. The people who want to defend that sin are against you. The people who are for righteousness are for you. There are those who will make fun of you for the narrow position you take, or the biblical position you take, I should say. They will mock you when things are going well, when the sun is shining brightly on them. They'll mock you. But when the sun starts going down and a cloud comes about on their household or upon their health report, they'll come to you. They want to see someone who will stand. The word is out. You are known. The word is out that you are a Christian. You're not hidden. The Lord makes it that way because, after all, those who are in darkness will easily tell where the light is, and you shine the light when you make known Christ's ways and word, when you live for Him, when you show forth His blessedness and His mercies and His grace. The word is out, and you want that light to shine ever brighter. And every once in a while, there will be things in the life that will obscure the light. What do I mean by that? There will be character flaws. Things will come through and blot out a certain portion of the light. And that's what the people will lay hold to. They'll lay hold to the darkness that is there rather than to the light that is so easily seen. That's the way human nature is. It is another attempt to put out the light. But we must not be discouraged by the fact that we're not perfect. Don't sit back and say, well, I'll wait until I'm perfect before I start serving the Lord. You start serving the Lord the very moment you're saved. We don't let little children go out into the streets, but we send the gospel-bearing saint out with the message of the gospel, and we go out among wolves. But guess what? The shepherd, the Lord, is our shepherd, and we're not alone. So you make it known that you are a Christian, and watch the Lord work in those situations. Our Heavenly Father, I pray again for the power of God to preach the word, to declare thy truth. We pray thee, O Lord, to use the messages to strengthen thy people, and that we shall be bold in our witness for Christ. We pray thee to use us today, and that we'll ever be sensitive of the nearness of the Lord. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's continue now in the book of Genesis chapter 26. And the last time we were looking at how that the Philistines had closed off the wells. They had envied Abraham's family. They had envied the blessings the Lord had brought upon them. And so they had filled in the wells that had been digged by Abraham. And but the scriptures tell us in verse 15, for all the wells which the father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and had filled them with earth. Now, this was hard work. And again, as we closed on the program, we were telling you that the Philistines could have benefited from these wells. But because of envy, we saw in the last part of verse 14, the Philistines envied him. They envied the progress. They envied the blessings and the prosperity. And so they will do what they can to hinder this one. They'll put out their own eye if it'll make their, if they will cause some kind of discomfort to the enemy. Now, those whom they perceive to be enemies are not enemies, just being blessed by the Lord. You know, you can sit there at your radio and be angry with me and hold your breath till I stop preaching against a certain sin, or till you can sit in the pew and your pastor is preaching against a certain sin. You sit there and you hold your breath and you say, I'll not breathe until he changes his attitude. Or do you think you're going to hurt him? Do you think you're going to hurt him? Or you can sit there and you'll say, I'll not eat until I see such and such a person get things my way. I see these people who, I was looking in a magazine some days ago and saw the story of a woman and a group of people saying they were going to not eat until the military did something the way they wanted it done. Now, and of course, what happens is that politics and the media gets a hold of something like that, and they start putting pressure, and the people start saying, oh, that cruel, mean man, making that man not eat. Well, the person made that choice. He made that choice, and it's his decision to starve himself to death because he can't get his way. Well, anyway, that has proven to be a quite powerful political tool, but it doesn't hurt the ones who are the object of that. It hurts the politics, but it doesn't hurt them physically. And many times people have the attitude of, I'm envious of such and such a person, I'll get even with them. Well, they're not being hurt by your envy unless you put forth some vicious attack upon them. And these, you're the one who hurts. You're the one who hurts yourself. You're the only one who is hurt by that. And then we see in verse 16 that Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And here is an indication that he did not trust. He did not trust Isaac and his people. He saw the goodness that the Lord had bestowed upon them. He saw that the man Isaac had deceived him. And now he is seeing this power. Go from us. We are having a problem being jealous with the prosperity you have, and we are envious of what you're having. Go from us. You're mightier. You have more riches. Your family is growing quickly. You have many servants. You are a prosperous man. Please go from us. Now, this was their land, and Isaac was a sojourner. He was a traveler. He was a pilgrim. This wasn't his land. And he was afraid, so if he became more numerous, does it not go with the saying that if you're afraid of something, when you get more power, you're going to remove that. You get more strength, you will remember any kind of harm or that you might have thought about when you were being, convicted or afraid of certain things. Well, that was their thinking. If this man is going to, attack us, we'll just have to ask him to go from us. And so that's what they did do. We're willing to go. You're mightier than we. And they readily acknowledged this fact. And so Isaac departed. He was not one to argue. He just departed. And Isaac's life is a very quiet life. He comes on the scene and not a whole lot is said about him. He is born to his parents when his mother is 90 years old and his father is 100. And he is going to live to be 180. He is going to know the blessings that the Lord had promised to Abraham. But there is not a whole lot that is said about him. Now, for the most part, his life must have been a life of obedience. Now, look at that. Does the Lord talk much about the one who is obedient? Now, he tells us something of their lives, but the ones who disobeyed, we'll read a lot about them. We read many chapters about Saul's life and his disobedience and his sin. Of Joseph, we read of Joseph's faithfulness. But the Lord doesn't talk about Joseph's faithfulness in the sense that he did not fall into sin. But the Lord talks about Joseph in the book of Hebrews about the fact that Joseph remembered the promises of God. You know, you are not rewarded for keeping the law. You drive down the highway and the sign says 55 miles an hour. And when you get ready to leave that highway, there is not a law enforcement officer standing there saying, "Oh, because you kept the speed limit, we're going to award you $50 or $55 today." The law doesn't pay. The law doesn't give life. The law says if you break this, if you exceed this point, then you're going to be punished for what you've done. That's what the law says. But the law does not reward. The law does not give life. Keeping the law does not give life, does not make you in right standing with God. The grace of God, God's goodness to you because you are a lawbreaker, is what brings life and where your rewards are. Say, "Well, I need to break the law so I can be..." No, that's saying the foolish thing. "Shall we sin? Or I will sin that grace may abound." No, the Lord doesn't want that. You don't presume upon the grace of God and fall into sin. The Lord doesn't look lightly upon that. And here, Isaac's life is a life about which very little is spoken. And he departs from the place. He goes quietly. He moves along very peaceably. He is not a warmonger, but he is now basking and being blessed in the blessings that the Lord brought upon him because of Abraham's faithfulness. And he goes on and he pitches his tent in Gerar, a little distance away, and he wants to go ahead and start his own life. And in verse 17 of the book of Genesis chapter 26, where he pitched his tent, and in verse 18, he digs a well. He digs again the wells which his father had digged. He cleans them out. And that's a good thing to do. We need to go back to those wells from which our fathers drank so freely, and we're blessed by them. But many times people will say, "I don't want to go back to that old well. I want a new one. I want to drink from something different." Well, you can't drink of anything newer than what the Lord gives, the fresh water, the refreshing water, the bubbling up, springing forth water that the Lord gives us in Christ, the Word of God. Let's go to it again and again. Be refreshed again and again. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee, dear Lord, for this time we have to minister Thy Word. Bless, I pray Thee, this message, and show forth Thy power upon Thy people as we are faithful to Thee today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina. May the Lord bless you.